Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 28, and it's a Tuesday, November 29, 2016. I am Nard.
And this is Ray.
Yes, and we're back after a few weeks of, well, the elections came in and the holidays came in. So before we go on, belated, happy Thanksgiving to all.
Yeah.
And we kind of missed Turkey Day.
Well, we didn't miss it at all. Trust me, I didn't miss Turkey Day at all. We just missed recording that week.
Yeah, we didn't.
And the week before because of the drama.
We got too busy, and yeah, the drama week before. Yeah, it was kind of a weird month for an election year.
We were so devastated in election week, we couldn't even podcast.
That's how bad it was. That's how bad it was. That's we could not podcast at all. So how are you, Ray?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Great, great. You've been out of town.
I have been traveling, yes. I took the week of Thanksgiving off and drove all over the southeastern United States, pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah. And it's good that you got to see your mom.
That's right. I got to see everybody. I got to see the whole family. Got to meet my nephew for the first time. He's 6 months old.
He's so cute.
So I got to do that and hang out with some family and some friends that I haven't seen in a long time and I miss. So it was all good. Mm-hmm. Got to visit some places I've never visited before because mm-hmm. I stopped in NOLA on the way out and hit Oak Alley, which is one of the beautiful plantations.
Oh, you went to the plantations. Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Did that. And then went to Mobile on the way out and stopped at the USS Alabama and toured it, which was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to Pensacola, Florida.
To the beaches?
To the beaches. Froze my ass off because that was the night that cold front hit. And then I went to Savannah, Georgia.
I might be there next year.
Yeah. So okay. I took a ghost tour there. It's pretty interesting.
Oh, really? Savannah?
Yep. And then I drove on into home.
So you went straight from Savannah? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then I did the reverse, except I cut through Atlanta, stopped in Atlanta, and then went to Mobile and stopped in Mobile and did some more sightseeing.
Mm-hmm.
And then New Orleans. And then I got stuck on the 12 hours trip from hell from New Orleans back to Houston on Saturday night.
Yeah, something happened. Mike was telling me about it because he was worried that he will be affected when going back to New Orleans. But he was okay. He been there for 5 hours.
Yeah.
But yeah, he saw the place where that burning car was. Yeah. It was horrible.
Yeah, if you've never been on I-10 coming from New Orleans to Houston, there's the Appalachian, how you say it?
Atchafalaya
Basin, mm-hmm. which is basically a swamp with a four-lane bridge through it. And if something happens, you got two lanes going one way and two lanes going the other. And if shit happens, you're screwed.
Everybody's screwed.
There's no pulling off to the side of the road or anything like that.
There's no driving around it. There's no shoulder.
No, nothing. You're on a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
So they rerouted everybody up past Baton Rouge up on old US 190.
Oh, you went that way?
Well, that's the way Google was routing everybody. Uh-huh. So we went that way, and that's what took the longest time because
that's where everybody went.
Everybody went, and you had all that holiday traffic going through there. And then once you got to the river, right before you get to Opelias, is that how you say it?
Atchafalaya?
No, Opelias is the town.
Oh, okay.
There's the bridge that goes over the river.
Yeah.
Only one lane was open because they were redoing the bridge.
Oh, good timing,
so,
huh?
Thousands of cars were trying to get on one lane. And once you got past that, you could fly like a bat out of hell.
Wow.
So we got there about 11 o'clock Saturday night.
So you were able to get to Houston around 2 or 3.
We got to Houston at 3:30. And we stopped at the Waffle House because we were starving.
I bet you are.
We needed a break from sitting in the car for 6 hours. And
it's a good thing you have gas still, huh?
Well, yeah. We filled up before we left New Orleans. And, I mean, it was just slow. Move 10 feet, sit. Move 10 feet, sit. Move 10 feet, sit.
That's why you were able to send pictures, huh?
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Well, good for you.
That was my vacation.
Yeah, it was an exciting one. We were just laid back. Mike and I just stayed in town. Thank you very much to Gary and Andrew for hosting an amazing Thanksgiving dinner, which happened at 1 p.m. That's how you do it in America, right? You say dinner for Thanksgiving. It's actually 1 p.m. or 2 p.m. Is that how it is?
Yeah, we did one, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so we were there.
Some family members, you say 10 a.m. and they get there by 1. So it all depends on which family member you're talking to.
Oh, okay. So yeah, just a laid back weekend. Got to see Mike and I got to see that Harry Potter one. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Yes. Have you seen that? I watched that too. I took the nieces and the sister and the brother-in-law to go see it Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. So wow. I liked it. It was really good. Mm-hmm. It's different from the others, but it's a whole different storyline.
You know they're going to do like 4 or 5 episodes out of that.
Yeah.
I read the book. I read actually the manual. It's not a book, but it's actually a manual.
Well, actually, the whole thing is a school book that's used at Hogwarts.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
Because it's about the guy that writes the book.
Yeah. So the movie is like adventures of that guy who wrote the book.
Yeah.
So by reading the book itself, you could see that there's a lot of stories that can come out of
out of that. Yes.
Yeah. So there's so many creatures in it that they can really think of any kind of story out of it. So have you read the book?
No, I've not. That's the one.
It's actually
I just finished the latest book, the one that was based on the play. That's 12.
Oh, the Cursed Child.
The Cursed Child, the 18 years later book.
Oh, okay. It was really good.
It was okay. I couldn't sleep.
But
one
you
night.
Read it in script format though. Or was it really?
Well, it's written kind of like in a play script.
Like in a play script, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's been an exciting week, even though you were just doing a staycation, not like you, Ray. Mm-hmm.
So it's okay. You need to get out and travel around the U.S. and just find some stuff. Like people that follow me on Facebook, they got to see me go, "I'm coming for you, Carl."
Oh, because you were in Atlanta?
Because I was in Atlanta, and I went to the Jackson Street Bridge and was standing there where they did a shot for The Walking Dead, where you go into Atlanta and you see all the zombies and the cars sitting on the freeway. That bridge is where they did that shot from.
Yeah.
So awesome. I did that and went to the aquarium there, which is rated the number one aquarium in the U.S.
Actually, it is. I was there 2009. 2009 was great. It was a really, really busy one, too.
It was very busy. Yes. Friday after Thanksgiving, it was busy as hell. Yeah. So
anyway... Well, I guess, we spent about 7 minutes just talking about our lives, which is updates.
So let's go on to the gay.
Let's go to our stories for Gay Geek Bizarre. Let's go to the gay.
All right, Manny, this first one's yours.
This one is a good one because I was seeing some TED Talk.
Who is Ted?
I don't know, but he's just popular.
Because I always see these TED Talk things and I don't understand what they are.
Do you ever watch it?
I've watched a couple, but it's like people talking about their lives and stuff like that.
Yeah. That's true. Okay, so one of the articles is very, very intriguing for me, and I think, and I really agree a lot of it because later after I read this part of the article, I would like Ray and I were going to talk about really quick about how homosexuality benefits evolution. So, Dr. James O'Keefe gave a recent TED Talk at TEDx Talagat in Dublin about homosexuality and how it's not about sex, but survival. We'll get to that in a minute. So O'Keefe's son, Jimmy, is gay, and when Jimmy came out to him and his wife 12 years ago, O'Keefe confessed that he was worried for his safety and his son's happiness. But the more he thought about it, the more he realized that homosexuality wasn't abnormal, but a way of a species to survive. So, viewed in the light of evolution, homosexuality seems to be a real self-defeating, non-productive strategy. That's what people would think. O'Keefe told the audience at his TED Talk, "Gays have 80% fewer kids than heterosexuals. This is a trait that ought to go extinct in a few generations. Yet, down through recorded history in every culture and in many animal species as well, homosexuality has been a small but distinct subgroup. If this were a genetic error, natural selection should have long ago culled this from the gene pool," which we were talking in the dinner table today, tonight, and fabulous dinner made by Ray. He made some chili tonight. So we were talking about it, that homosexuality is not an aberration, but it's a way for nature to control population, and like in the TED Talk, the homosexuals, it's a way for people to survive. And the way they talked about it here is that if it is an aberration, an error, or something that is useless, then why did it not go away in billions of millions or millions of years of human evolution? How come it did not go away? Because things like If you do natural selection, the weak link or the weakest one always
or bad genes.
The bad genes
they usually die out.
They are. But how come homosexuality never did? Because it is a way of coping for a species to survive. So, in the TED Talk, it was talking about a son who's gay. He may not be having children, but he was the light of the family, giving comfort for the straight kids in his siblings. If they needed to talk to someone, he was there. Because in some ways, probably they're not burdened by having his own family. They're concentrated to his own family, to his immediate siblings. So it kind of helps. It kind of helps the survival.
He's not distracted by a wife and his own kids that eat time away from other things.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, okay. So let's relate it to us, to me. I am the only gay one in our family. And I do feel that when I saw the TED Talk, wow, this is me. That I could see now why. Not that I'm bragging or, modesty aside, I do feel like that in the family, I do feel like I am the one putting the family together, because I help out, my mom, I help my brother, and my sister is very busy with his children and with her children, and same thing in the Philippines with my other sister. So I feel like I'm a common denominator among all of them that could put them all together. And that's how I feel. And oh my God, that is right. It is a way for families to survive. And it is...
There's another study, and I'm trying to think of what the name of it is, but there's this group that did a study on rats. Mm-hmm. And they let the rat population, they put them in a confined space, fed them as much as they could feed them, and let the population just grow out of control. Mm-hmm. And what happened was, the homosexuality in the rats skyrocketed after the population hit a certain level, and then because they didn't do anything to control it, it's doubled and tripled again, and then they started killing and fighting, and cannibalism set in because they started eating each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a natural selection thing. It's like, okay, we need to slow the population growth. So the genetics of it was there were more homosexual rats than there were straight breeding rats.
Mm-hmm.
So it was one of those things, and it was quite interesting to read that study. And I think that was done in the 80s or 90s. But I always read that, and it always kind of stuck with me that the whole thing about homosexuality has always kind of been, it's always considered aberrant behavior.
Mm-hmm.
But if you ever notice, the larger the population gets, the more prevalent it is. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like genetics saying, hey, y'all have gotten too big for the planet, you're going to destroy it. So now there's all these homosexuals.
Yeah, and
all these fabulous people.
The fabulous people. Do you sometimes feel like you're the sane one in the house? You're the sane one in your family.
I'm always the sane one.
Yeah, exactly right.
Why do you think I moved to Texas? Because 900 miles away, I don't have to deal with the insanity.
Yeah, exactly. So you're not really helping your family right there. Yeah. But anyway, so what do you guys think? What do you guys think of this article? If you guys go to Gay Geek Bazaar. To the Facebook Gay Geek Bazaar, or go to gaygeekbazaar.com. You'll be able to see the links to this TED Talk, and you'll see how homosexuality is actually helping the species, helping the human families and the evolution of men.
So. But the whole thing is human behavior is anything that's different we don't like.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So we got to beat it out and kill it.
Mm-hmm. And if they do, you're doing a disservice to your own species if you do that.
Yeah. So.
Okay, let's go to the next one. We have a lot of gay articles.
Well, we got a couple guys because they're cute. Did you do any Black Friday shopping?
I did, but online. Okay. I did everything.
But
online.
You did Cyber Monday type thing.
Yeah. Okay. Cyber Monday type.
Well, here's three naughty toys you can stuff in his stocking. So Maynard, maybe you can stuff one of these in your stockings.
Okay.
The holidays are just around the corner, which means it's time to start thinking about giving and receiving. Regardless of your beliefs, planning ahead, making the season a lot more pleasant. So we came up with a list of stocking stuffers that will surely spice up your gift exchange. The first one is the Lux L3 Plus Male Prostate Stimulator.
So what does this do?
Nothing says ho, ho, ho like a good prostate massage. So there are many massagers on the market, but many are missing refined features, which is why it's time to expand your horizons. Deluxe LX3 Plus Male Prostate Stimulator hits your prostate perfectly, and its vibrations are strong enough to jingle all your bells. With varying speeds to customize your experience, you don't need to worry about the Lux 3 making noise. Its gentle hum is incredibly quiet, so you don't have to worry about waking up grandpa across the hall. Plus, it's made of 100% seamless silicone, which provides smoother penetration and holds body heat to maximize relaxation. Using this toy is incredibly simple. Simply apply lube to your anus and massage it gently until it slips inside your hole. Or in some of my friends' cases, it just falls in.
It just falls.
Then find your spot and let the vibrations take you to Winter Wonderland. Its battery lasts for an hour and 15 minutes, so you have plenty of time to climax.
For some people who edge, that might not be enough.
Well, then you'd have to recharge and take a break.
Yeah, okay.
The next one is the Extreme Sex Machine. Maynard, I thought about getting this for you. The Extreme Sex Machine is the world's first portable, travel-friendly sex machine used for male-on-male or solo play. In essence, it's a compatible, double-sided toy aimed to pleasure both tops and bottoms simultaneously.
So travel-friendly, it's TSA approved.
Yes. So, I must have copied something. Why did this recopy?
I don't know.
It did something weird.
Anyway.
I'm scrolling down. Okay.
You'll see it.
All right. One end features interchangeable 7 or 8 inch dildos, so that's perfect for you, Maynard. And the other hosts a Fantaflesh anal sleeve complete with 2 rows of beads for maximum pleasure. With a flip of a switch, the Extreme Sex Machine motor activates thrusting and stroking on either end. So the bottom or the top could get pleasure from this thing solo.
Oh.
In case you wanted to save the memories for later, the Extreme Sex Machine also has an attachment for your smartphone or tablet so you can record his or your O-face. Plus, the nights you fly solo, the machine can quickly transform into a handheld device.
Oh.
So it's very, very user-friendly.
Okay.
The Fleshlight Go Torque Ice. Every man should have a lightweight, portable toy for travel, especially during the holidays. Instead of settling for a mediocre model, splurge on the Fleshlight Go to Torque Ice. Like the original Fleshlight, the Fleshlight Go creates an intense sucking sensation that's completely customizable, and it's made of super skin that looks and feels real. As a result, you'll experience a toe-curling orgasm guaranteed to make your night on everything but silent. So I thought this was pretty cool that here's 3 things that anybody can buy us here at the show and send to us
yes.
for Christmas. These are all toys we'd like to get in our stockings.
Yes, that's right.
So...
Okay, so it might be something we should look forward to my stocking. So
yeah,
okay, so
to get your stocking stuffed because mm-hmm. you like to get your stocking stuffed.
So I'm gonna go this gay entertainment. Or
this,
go
yeah, I'll jump into the gay entertainment because I'm trying to get through the gay real quick because we got a bunch tonight. I was all excited about this because I'm a big Anne Rice fan and the whole vampire series that she's wrote. So Anne Rice's acclaimed Vampire Chronicles book series may be finding fresh blood on TV. The American Gothic horror novelist shared on Facebook Saturday that she has regained the theatrical rights to the series of books, revealing a possible adaptation of the series for an open-ended TV series. A television series of the highest quality is now in my dream for Lestat, Louis, Armand, Marius, and the entire tribe. And this new golden age of television, such a series is the way to let the entire story of the vampires unfold, Rice said on the Post. So she's also partnering with her son, Christopher Rice, to work on the first episode and get a plot story worked out.
Is he a millennial?
No, he's a little bit older than that. He's probably in his late 30s now. So
okay, so he can help.
But he's an incredible writer, too.
Oh, okay.
I've read 3 of his books. I think they were very good. So they're developing a plot script and the detail outline for an open-ended series, faithfully presenting Lestat's story as it's told in the books, complete with many situations that readers expect to see. Rice additionally referenced former fan fever for epic Game of Thrones style fateful rendering of this material, assuring the readers that the series, what you want is what I want. So we could get a Game of Thrones style Vampire Lestat and all the other vampires in that.
Is it like in the past, so it's a little bit dated?
Lestat picks up from Lestat. The first book is Lewis's story, which is Interview with the Vampire.
Yeah.
Well, the Vampire Lestat is the next novel.
Yes.
that talks about where Lestat came from and how he came into being and his story up until he met Lewis and them, and picks up from there. So what they're doing is want to take all the books and combine them into ongoing TV show, which I think would be incredible because there's so much detail in the books that the movies just can't cover. They leave so much out.
And if it's a TV series, it can cover more.
It can cover more. They can slow the storyline down. They can bring in all these little side characters that you never saw before. So,
if it would be like that, Game of Thrones type, with a dash of Breaking Bad detail,
yeah,
that'd be great. That'd be awesome.
So let's all cross our fingers and hope that happens.
Okay.
So now on to the geek.
Okay, let's go to the geek. I got this article from Engadget. It's about Thanksgiving. We talk about shopping also. So mobile shopping reaches an all-time high on Black Friday. Did you do your shopping last for Black Friday?
Actually, I went shopping on Wednesday.
Oh, Wednesday.
And I bought some stuff that was on sale.
Already.
So. Okay.
So Adobe has determined that mobile shopping, both phone and tablet, was responsible for $1.2 billion in U.S. online sales on Black Friday, the first time it has ever crossed the $1 billion mark. In fact, it's still in the minority, representing 36% of the total $3.34 billion, but that's still a huge 33% spike over the shopping frenzy from the last year. Those mobile users actually outweighed their PC counterparts in terms of viewing, because that's what I do actually. Some of them I did on my phone. Oh, I ordered this. Somebody told me about it. I go on my phone and then click it and order it, especially if it's Amazon. So racking up about 55% of visits in using mobile phones. In other words, some of those people shopping from their PCs still checked on their phones before committing to a purchase. Yeah. So go online.
Well, they feel more secure on their PC.
Yeah. Well, it's secure also on the phone. Yeah. So it's just that the feeling of it. So as for what Americans bought in terms of tech, the highest grossing gadgets were iPads, Samsung 4K TVs, MacBooks, particularly their 13-inch Air, because the 13-inch Air is cheaper. Well, it is more, cheaper than the MacBook Pros that came out last month. So LG TVs also, and Xbox One. Adobe's data lines up with that, with what the retailers themselves are saying. Amazon is shy on numbers as usual, but says its mobile orders on Thanksgiving alone topped what it saw last year. Target reports that over 60% of its record-setting online sales came from mobile, while over 70% of Walmart's web traffic was from mobile devices. So it's really easier doing mobile.
Well,
a lot of
the companies this year open up the Black Friday stuff online early.
Yeah, that's true.
So they open it up like the Monday before Thanksgiving, and all that stuff opened up, and so it gave people more of a chance to sit down and select stuff instead of going to a store and fighting over stuff on Black Friday.
Yeah, and you know what? I did not see any videos.
There have been a couple on Facebook.
There was a couple.
Yeah.
I didn't get to see any videos of people going crazy on the.
There are some stores where people pushing through the doors and acting a little crazy. So
yeah, but it's not as sensationalized as like last year or anything.
Yeah.
Okay, so the question is, did you guys? I did some shopping online myself.
I've done no shopping for anybody for Christmas.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
You didn't even go to the dollar store for me.
No.
Okay.
Not yet. Payday's not until the 1st.
Oh, okay.
Plus, I just had a very expensive vacation that I took that I got to figure out how to pay for Christmas and the vacation.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so guys, listening to this show, have you guys done your Cyber Monday? Well, it's the day after Cyber Monday when we're recording this. And I hope you guys got to do your deals. That's awesome. Also, I've been playing around with Amazon Echo, and I was able to order a couple of stuff with it. Just say, oh, buy this, buy that. Oh, what are your sales? Oh, our sales for today is this and this and that. Would you like to buy it? Say, yes. When you say yes, okay, it's arriving next week. So it's just awesome.
Can you do the grocery store, local, the one-hour delivery thing?
No, not yet. That's Amazon Fresh. I forgot what it's called. But no, I don't think it's available in the suburbs of Houston. I don't know if it's available in Houston yet. I don't know yet. But I never tried it.
Well, I know in town it is.
In town, yeah, you have to be in town. It depends on your address. Okay, let's go to the Bizarre.
Okay, the Bizarre is anger as Japanese skating rink freezes thousands of fish into ice as a gimmick. I saw the pictures of this, Maynard, and I was not that offensive once I read this article and I found out that the fish and everything were already dead. They didn't torture them or anything, so. Mm-hmm. The feature at Space World in, how do you say that city?
Kitakyushu.
Kitakyushu is forced to close after anger at the disrespect for life and lack of morality. At an amusement park in Japan has been forced to close its skating rink after a torrent of online criticism over the centerpiece, thousands of fish frozen in the ice. Space World in the city of Kitakyushu, southwest Japan, bowed to pressure to close the facility on Sunday after an online campaign denouncing the pristine graveyard as cruel, immoral, and weird. The rink, which was supposed to have stayed open until the spring, featured about 5,000 dead sprats, mackerel, and other fish that had been bought from a local market, embedded in the ice, some of their mouths still open and apparent suspended animation, according to local media reports. The fish were also used to spell out hello under the ice and to form an arrow showing skaters which directions to follow.
Oh my god, that is so freaky.
Other parts of the rink showed rays and whale sharks that the park pointed out were merely in large photos that had been placed beneath the ice. The outcry was prominent after the fish, some of which appear to be swimming in formation around a pillar, were featured in a local TV report last week.
Space Worlds?
Hang on. I lost my spot. Space World's Facebook page is inundated with complaints and calls for the attraction to close. One commenter said the park was disrespectful of life, while another said it was displaying an appalling lack of morality. The facility's website had touted the ice aquarium as an opportunity for visitors to glide across the sea in what was called the first attraction of its kind in the world. But on Sunday, the park announced it was closing the ice rink. We deeply apologize to the people who felt uncomfortable about the ice aquarium event, it said with a statement quoted in the Japan Times. As a result, we have stopped the event from today. A spokesperson told the Asahi Shimbun that the park was considering holding a memorial service for the fish next year, adding that the fish were already dead when they were bought from a local wholesaler. Misunderstanding spread on the internet that the fish were frozen while they were still alive. But that was not the case. The spokesperson told the newspaper, we should have explained more.
Yeah. Well, it was an interesting gimmick. I think it's a good idea, but it was just not, informed. Why not just use fake fish? Why does it have to be fish?
I think they were just trying to do a gimmick for people.
And Wait a second. It's cheaper to have real fish, I guess.
Probably. I mean, I'm sure they could have done the photo enlargement and stuff, but it might have been very expensive with all the graphic enlargement and getting it on the ice and stuff. And the fish, they just had to drop them in. And the ice went right before it solidified and got them all set up and stuff. So, I mean, it was a gimmick, and I understand it, and I wouldn't have had a problem with it as long as they said, hey, we bought the fish from a market. They're already dead. We just put them in the ice, and they're here just to be show and stuff. So, I mean,
Okay. So, yeah, I would skate in it if I would be, ooh, wow, cool. It's a fish in formation. It would have been okay with me. I mean, are you offended, Ray?
I know. Once I saw the pictures and read the story, I was like, I wasn't offended at all. I was just like, well, I mean, they're using it as a kind of a gimmick. We do stuff like that here at parks all the time. So,
well, not
maybe not live fish and stuff, but I mean,
well, they did say they're all dead.
Yeah,
they just. Can you imagine that they were freezing them, but then they were putting them in certain formation
and holding their little mouths, open them up, and you know, doing all this stuff. So
I'm sure they're open with toothpicks or something. Yeah. Okay, so that's interesting. Okay, thank you, Ray, for that article. So, before we close, Ray, what are you thankful for this year?
Well, I'm thankful I got friends like you and Marvin and Julio and Ryan and Ian and all the other special people in my life. I'm thankful that I am finally getting my life back on track and moving forward again after stumbling there for a little while. So I'm all thankful for that.
Well, I am thankful for, of course, Ray here, being my best friend here, just podcasting with me. And, of course, our hosts right here, right now in the Ray studio. Actually, Marvin and Jim are downstairs. Yeah. And, of course, my hubby, he's always been patient with me. I had a great time with him during Thanksgiving. Thankful for all my friends, having a roof to sleep on and food to eat. It's awesome. And 2016 has been a very trying year. It's been a stressful year. And I've seen videos.
That, you've had that asshole of a roommate that lived with you for almost a year. So
that's right.
Once he got out of there, it should be less stressful.
Yeah, I guess. but yeah, I'm thankful that I don't know if I'm... There is some things that are... I should say... during the elections and everything, not thankful of the results, but more thankful that people are being awakened.
Yeah.
More people are being awakened and, or being more, you know, being more, what do you call it, vocal.
Yeah.
Being more vocal. On both sides, I should say, but people are becoming more aware, and we will see in the next 4 years what's going to happen. Yeah. So. Anyway, okay, so special thanks to Cesar for the great articles on Facebook. And yeah, he's been helping us post some amazing stories on Facebook. And thank you, Cesar. And he's been posting on facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre, so you can follow us there. And you can email us at show@gaygeekbizarre.com.
Or call us and leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. That's 281-947-2327. At least call us and wish us Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah.
Oh, you know what? You can send us holiday cards or Christmas cards. We have. You can send it to Gay Geek Bizarre, P.O. Box 2511, Humble, Texas 77347. I'll put the address on the show notes, so you can send it if you guys want to send us some, you know, greeting cards, whatever. And you can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And we are on Google Play, iTunes, and leave us a review there if you can. And Stitcher Radio, and also go to the official website at gaygeekbizarre.com. Thank you everyone for watching. Oh, sorry, for listening. We haven't done video yet.
Yeah.
Maybe soon. Thank you for listening, everyone, and we'll catch you guys in the next show. Bye.